Welcome to today's Morning Magazine. It's Friday, April 7th of 2023. I'm your host, Jack Armstrong. Coming up on today's program, it's the first Friday of April, and we join a hunt for Easter daisies on the Nature Almanac. After that, we hear from Boulder High students who are hosting an art exhibition about mental health at Ozo Coffee in Boulder. Later, Jimmy Searfoss will bring us his weekly regional sports roundup. And then it's .org, our weekly look at local nonprofits. At the bottom of the hour, Connections comes your way. Host Fiona Foster will talk with professors from CU's Fisk Planetarium about astronomy. Then at 9:30, Dave McIntyre will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead, but first these headlines with KGNU's Benita Lee.
It's official now. There will be runoff elections in Denver on June 6th. None of the candidates vying for mayor received 50% of the vote, the minimum needed for an outright win in last Tuesday's election. Three of Denver's city council races are also headed to a runoff election. KGNU's John Kellen has more.
In the mayoral race, former state senator Mike Johnston got 24% of the vote, while former Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce CEO Kelly Broff received 20%. That's according to the latest update from elections officials. Even if one of those candidates picked up all remaining votes, it wouldn't be enough to reach the necessary 50%. Whoever wins the June 6th runoff will succeed term-limited Michael Hancock, who's completing 3 4-year terms in office. In the city council races, candidates in districts 7, 8, and 9 are also headed to runoff elections in June. Flor Alvarez will face Nick Campion in District 7. Chantel Lewis will go against Brad Rivera in District 8. And in District 9, incumbent Candy C. DeBaca faces Daryl Watson. None of the at-large council candidates received 50% of the vote, but that race does not go to a runoff. For KGNU, I'm John Kellen.
Governor Jared Polis has named a new director for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Jeff Davis, formerly Director of Conservation for the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, was tapped to take over the spot left vacant by Dan Prenslow. Prenslow retired in November during an investigation into comments he made that a black employee felt were racist. A third-party investigation into Prenslow's 3-year stint uncovered an unhealthy workplace environment. In Washington State, Davis shaped legislation for habitat and biodiversity conservation and addressed sustainable land management issues. Davis will start his job on May 1st, overseeing 42 state parks and over 300 wildlife areas. Centura Health reported it was hit by a large ransomware attack last fall. Common Spirit Health, which owns the Catholic hospitals in the Centura partnership, announced the breach, saying it began mailing letters Thursday to patients whose information had been compromised. The hacked data included names, dates of birth, diagnoses and treatments, provider names, health insurance information, contact information, and in some cases, social security numbers. Common Spirit Health says it took until February 21st to confirm what information hackers had stolen. Advent Health, which owns the Adventist hospitals in the Centura system, share much of their administration with Common Spirit. The two Centura groups announced on February 14th that they intended to split their management operations. Denver's Department of Housing Stability opened 49 new affordable housing units in Denver. KGNU's Juanita Hurtado has more.
Rhonda's Place is the 10th project for the nonprofit Ready Corporation that specializes in providing supportive housing and services for people exiting homelessness, as well as those with mental health struggles and disabilities. The city supporter, $17.3 million development, offers one-bedroom apartments located near numerous bus stops and includes amenities like shared laundry spaces, meeting rooms for supplemental services, a dog run and garden, and community spaces. According to a press release, subsidized vouchers will be provided for all units to ensure residents pay no more than 30% of their total income on housing costs. For KGNU, I'm Juanita Hurtado.
The City of Boulder announced Thursday that emergency dispatchers will now be able to accept live streaming video from 911 callers. The new system, called Prepared 911, is free and sends a text link to a caller's cell phone. Emergency dispatchers will be able to switch between the front and back-facing cameras, turn the screen dark so no one can see its recording, and can also end the live stream. Dispatchers can also send a location request to someone's cell phone to help them if they're lost or unable to say where they are. The Colorado Senate Health and Human Services Committee will consider a bill next week that would allow eligible public schools to conduct mental health screenings for 6th through 12th graders. The bill would require participating schools to provide written notice of the mental health screenings to students' parents within the first 2 weeks of school. Parents may then opt their child out of the program. However, students 12 and older may still consent to participate. Another sunny spring day along the Front Range. In Boulder, a high near 62 and a low around 38. In Denver, a high near 66 with a low around 36. In Fort Collins, a high around 62 and a low around 32. For KGNU, I'm Benita Lee.
It's April. What's happening in the natural world? Here are Boulder naturalists Steve Jones and Ruth Carol Cushman.
It's a bright, sunny, but very cold spring morning, and we've come out to Six Mile Fold, which is one of the most celebrated geologic sites in Boulder County. And the reason it's called a fold is we're standing atop a ridge in the foothills near Highway 36, north of Boulder. And this is an area, of course, where the Rocky Mountains rose upward about 70 million years ago. The rock is Niobrara sandstone and is a little softer than a lot of the rocks that rose up. It's all whitish rocks, and the Easter daisies will only grow in these shale formations. They love limestones, actually. So we're just going to walk along this S, this white S, which is the Niobrara Formation, and see what we can see.
We just stumbled on a little clump of Easter daisies. They're not yet in full bloom, but you can see the pinkish bud. It's a plant in the daisy family, and it starts off with the pink buds, and then they flare out into white daisies with bright yellow centers.
This is like the cushion plants you see in the alpine tundra. It's blooming out of a cushiony green mat, a very tightly dense. And we're standing on the Niobrara Formation here, which is this white rock. And the reason the daisy is here is you'll notice there are no other plants around it. It has a really deep taproot, and it goes down maybe 8 inches. And it can extract moisture and nutrients from the soils here, whereas very few other plants can. And so these Easter daisies just grow in these shales and limestones here in the foothills. That's the only place they can grow, because other places they can't compete. And they're just starting to bloom now, about 3 months late. And that gives you an idea how persistently cold our winter has been.
Okay, we just saw one of the little white butterflies. The ones that come out early are usually cabbage whites, checkered whites, or spring whites. And they're nectaring on these Easter daisies that are opening out now.
It's later in the morning, and the Easter daisies have finally unfurled, and we have one. It's a cushiony plant with, I would guess, 30 daisy blossoms. And they're about an inch across with a nice bright yellow centers and the beautiful white ray petals right here, growing right out of this rock.
The most globally rare flower in Boulder County grows here in the Pierre Shale. It's the Bell's Twin Pod or Fusaria bellii. It should be blooming by late April, and it likes to grow in little cracks in the shale. It's in the mustard family, and it grows out of a little rosette of green leaves and then has brilliant, brilliant yellow flowers. Sometimes you can even see them as you're driving on 36, pull off the road and stop at one of the road cuts. Sometimes you can see them in the road cuts. I bet they lead geology hikes up here occasionally, don't they?
They do. They have interpretive walks up here, and that might make it easier to find. It's very fragile here. I think it helps that people are really educated before they come here, because if you just blundered across it, you probably wouldn't see anything.
Ruth Carol Cushman and Steve Jones are friends and Boulder naturalists.
A group of Boulder High School students has put up an art exhibition this month dedicated to teen mental health at Ozo Coffee in Boulder. KGNU's Martine Better spoke with some of the students organizing the event.
Yeah, we definitely want the whole community to be involved, and obviously Fairview is kind of our sister school, so we want students and the community around Fairview to be involved and all of the other schools and just the general community.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's rivalry between Boulder and Fairview.
Yes.
Especially in artistic creation, it really is a way of building cultures of belonging.
Thankfully, that competition is usually with sports and not really felt when it comes to art department to art department.
Yeah, well, and there's just amazing artists and performers and writers everywhere, and we just want to get as many people as we can who want to submit something to submit.
Like, a big part of the reason that we're doing this as well is that, you know, there is a need for cultivating mental health right now, especially in the past years, and especially in the Boulder High community. In the past months, there have been like some big events involving Boulder High and just our community in general that have really caused students to struggle, and we're hoping to just kind of aid in that. And also help adults too, you know? I mean, students are not alone in struggling. You know, everyone has a battle and everyone has a story to tell, and we're trying to create a space for people to share that story. Another thing is, I think a lot of adults like to go into fix-it mode when they hear that someone is struggling with their mental health, when in actuality, mental health is not something to be fixed. It's something to create and to build. And one of the most crucial things, if there are any parents listening, my best advice to you to help your kid with their mental health is to listen to what they need, listen to what they have to say, and listen to their opinions. See them, hear them, because I don't think that happens enough.
We also had background music from one of the performers that'll be at this opening event, right?
Yes, the background music is from Arahara, who will be performing on April 7th. So if you like what you're hearing behind us talking, you should absolutely come and see her perform live. She's so cool. I hear the dove calling, she's calling for trust. We must learn to trust.
That was Martine Better speaking with Boulder High students. For more information about their art exhibit at Ozo Coffee or tonight's performance, visit news.kgnu.org. You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Jack Armstrong. Up next, it's Sports Talk.
If you've been watching any baseball lately, the MLB has been running ads with baseball ASMR, so I think we'll be doing the same for here on Sports Talk. Just kidding, I wouldn't do that to you guys. Hello and welcome to Sports Talk with Jimmy, the very best of the best when it comes to sports shows here on KGNU. And here on the show, we cover sports and news stories from across the Front Range. And today, we have a story that affects our high school football and how the championship game is going to be played. Because on Thursday, CHASA announced that it will be moving the state championship football games away from Empire Field at Mile High for 5A and 4A schools this upcoming season. Then the 3A schools will follow the move in 2024. 2A and 1A football championships will be continued to play at CSU Pueblo's Thunderdome. Empire Field is, of course, where the Denver Broncos play. And the games will be moved to Fort Collins, where they will be playing at Canvas Stadium. That's going to be home to the CSU Rams. This is going to be where the championship game is going to be played for the next 5 years. The move has been called a financially responsible decision for our membership by CHASA Administrator Michael Kruger. Mile High Stadium had been host to the Colorado 3A, 4A, and 5A state championship games for the last 18 years, but the move to Fort Collins is said to just make sense money-wise. CHASA could see over $100,000 in revenue by playing the games up at CSU rather than in Denver. And it turns out Empire Field is maybe just not the most cost-effective place to hold a football game. Renting it out and staffing it alone cost $100,000. And honestly, this just makes sense to me on every kind of level. The financials make sense, and while it is definitely cool to play in an NFL stadium, I know if I was in high school, I would have loved to play in a professional stadium. The home of the Rams just makes a lot more sense, even when it comes to just the better experience overall. Empire Field seats just over 76,000 people. That's the population of most towns here in Colorado. In 2021, an attendance record was set for the football state championship games here in Colorado, the 5A championship between Valor Christian and Cherry Creek, alongside the 4A championship between Chatfield and Erie, brought in 16,152 people. Well, that's a good amount of people, but that is still a lot of empty space in Empire Field at Mile High, and it's hard to get a game-like feeling and a loud crowd when you have so much empty seats. The emptiness really kind of just takes the air out of the game. Canvas Stadium holds just about half of that. And while there's still going to be a lot of elbow room amongst the fans, the sounds of the game will be more concentrated, and the fans can definitely get a more up-close and personal feeling to this game, and it will 100% be a better setting to watch a high school football game. As a player, though, playing on a college campus is a great opportunity. Canvas Stadium is one of the newest in college football. It was just built in 2021. That means newer and nicer amenities in the stadium, locker rooms, pretty much everything when it comes to an experience for a player. And think about it. If a football player is good enough to be playing Division I football in Colorado, chances are they're getting recruited by CSU. And I promise, those CSU coaches are probably paying attention to the game that has the best football players in the state taking place in their backyard. Playing their biggest high school game of the season in a stadium they could potentially play in college gives them a better feel for pretty much what a college game would look like. Plus, the size of the crowd ain't that much different than a CSU game. And let's not forget, traffic is probably a lot better going to Fort Collins rather than Denver. And that is just about all I got going for you today here on Sports Talk. I've been your host, Jimmy Searfoss. Make sure you tune in next week at this same time for more. I'll see you then.
And now it's .org.
Time now for .org, spotlighting the work of local nonprofits and co-ops.
This is Stacey Johnson with KGNU.org. Today we are visiting with Gina Mayone Earls, Executive Director of Blue Sky Bridge. Gina, what is the work of Blue Sky Bridge and what is the organization's mission?
Yeah, so we are the Child Advocacy Center serving Boulder County. So we partner with law enforcement and human services and the district attorney's office and school districts and therapists and hospitals and all sorts of people around Boulder County to really work on the issue of child abuse broadly and child sexual abuse specifically. And we do that through education, prevention, intervention, and therapy. So we have a lot of different things that we're doing all at once, but it's all targeted around this issue of child abuse and child sexual abuse.
How is Blue Sky Bridge making a mark on preventing and ending child sexual abuse?
Even though this whole topic sounds so, I mean, it is. This is an awful, awful topic. One in 10 children are sexually abused before they turn 18. And although we think that statistic is getting better over time, yay, because there are organizations out there working really hard to make sure that kids are safer, it's still a huge, huge number of kids are experiencing sexual abuse. And yet places like Blue Sky Bridge, it's a hopeful place. Because what happens here is kids are talking about what they're experiencing, they're getting help, their abuse is stopping, and they are able to get the resources they need, work through their trauma, their post-traumatic stress symptoms, and get to a place where they can move forward in their life and not have this be the dominant thing in their life anymore. I think the biggest piece I haven't really talked about yet is that we want to get ahead of this and get upstream of this whole issue. And so we have a large and growing team of people at Blue Sky Bridge, including volunteers that work with us, who go out in the community and really try to get ahead of it. So we are helping adults to know what to do if a child comes to them, and helping kids to understand that they get to have They have rights and they get to have a voice about what happens to their body. And so we teach kids about trusted adults and who to go to if they have concerns. And we teach kids about just general body safety. And we teach adults about listening to children if they talk to them and not overreacting and just saying, thank you for telling me what you're telling me. And I believe you. Just the simplest things so that children will continue to talk to them. So we have a ton of people that go out in all sorts of places in the community and talk to anybody that will listen. And if you want us to come and talk to you or your group, please reach out to Blue Sky Bridge.
So it's my understanding April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. Are there any special events, programs, or campaigns that Blue Sky Bridge is conducting or hosting?
So many things. We have a couple of movie screenings. There's a film, it's a short documentary film called Raised on Porn, The New Sex Ed. It's tough. I've watched it several times, but it is really, really important that people understand the impact of pornography on children and the fact that children are seeing pornography at younger and younger and younger ages. So there's two opportunities to see that on April 12th at the East Boulder Community Center at 6 p.m. and on April 24th at 6 p.m. in Longmont at Front Range Community College. We also will have pinwheel gardens all over the county in April. So look for those. They're so pretty and fun. And there's always some signs around those pinwheel gardens at the time with some good information. We will have a 1 in 10 nail polish campaign. So in the month of April, you can wear one nail, just one nail, and paint it blue. And then you can talk about paint for prevention with anybody that asks you why you have one silly nail that's painted blue. I know there's more things. So go to our website. You can learn more.
Is there anything else you'd like to share before we end?
The most important thing for us always is to raise awareness. It's just so important that we know it, that it's real, and that we invite other people to come with us and learn more with us. Because if we can tackle this issue and really get ahead of it, we're going to transform children's lives.
Gina, thanks for your time today and sharing information about the work of Blue Sky Bridge. For KGNU.org, I'm Stacy Johnson.
For more information on this organization or to listen to other episodes, please go to news.kgnu.org.
For today's Morning Magazine, I've been your host, Jack Armstrong. Thanks to Benita Lee, Juanita Hurtado, Alexis Kenyon, Jimmy Searfoss, Eli Kalin, Chris Schulz, Martine Better, and Shelley Schlender for their contributions on today's show. Stay tuned for Connections. That's coming up just after these news headlines from the BBC.
FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver.